Good morning and welcome to the program. It's good to have you along with us this morning. This morning, I'd like to continue our discussion on spiritual restoration. You see, when most people seek spiritual restoration, there is a point where they can find a way to share their excitement with others. They want to share what they have learned about the Bible, the plan of salvation, and other things that they have learned because of Jesus. And the zeal that one has for teaching the lost must be realized before they can really live their life on a higher level. So, do you have the zeal that you need to for God? Well, first of all, what is zeal? Zeal means an eager desire or endeavor, or enthusiastic diligence. So, based on that definition, do you have zeal for God? If not, where is your zeal gone? Some folks have the same amount of zeal in sharing the gospel that they've had since their birth into Christ. Others have a greater amount of zeal for sharing the gospel than ever before. Still, there are others who have a lesser amount of zeal for sharing the gospel than they once possessed. How or why would one lose their zeal? Well, some have lost their zeal because of worldliness, like we read in Mark chapter 4 at verse 18. It says, "Now these are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world and deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." You see, it's the glitter of this world that pulls them away and chokes out God and His word. Some have lost their zeal because of inactivity. Just as physical muscles will fade away with inactivity, so will your ability to live a life in Christ. You're either in shape or you're out of shape. Let's read from Revelation 3 at verse 15. "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and not cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." Don't be inactive. Some people have lost their zeal because they've abandoned the gospel. The riches and the deceitfulness of this world have crept in so far that the gospel has no power in their life. 2 Timothy 4, 9 and 10 says, "Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me. Having loved this present world, he has departed for Thessalonica." We must not give up on Jesus. We must not abandon the gospel. And if we've lost our zeal, can we regain it? Well, take note of John's lessons to the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. "Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." So here in Revelation chapter 2 at verse 5, John first tells us to remember. And what are we to remember? Well, there are several things that we can remember. We need to remember what God has done for us. God has hidden our sins. Isaiah 38:17 says, "Indeed, it was for my own peace that I had great bitterness, but you have lovingly delivered my soul from the pit of corruption, for you have cast all my sins behind your back." And he has forgotten about those sins. Hebrews 10:17 says, "Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." We need to remember our lost condition. When we were not working for God, we were against God. Romans 8:31 says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" And Matthew 12:30, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." You see, we were once dead. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1 says, "And you he made alive, who were dead in the trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." You see, we were physically alive, but spiritually, we were dead men walking until Jesus made us alive again. We were once in danger of not inheriting the kingdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 9. It says, Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, and you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Remember, God does not save the good, God saves the righteous. Matthew chapter 25 at verse 46 says, "And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." There are plenty of good people in this world, but it's only the righteous that will go to heaven. God saves those who are His own. Romans 5:10 says, "For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." And 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, "He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." And it's those who obey His word who are saved. We've got to remember that. John 12:48, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." And Mark 16:16, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Next in Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, John says to repent. Now, the word repent means to change. But what is it we are to change? Well, we need to change our lives from living a sinful life and live for God. We need to repent of our sins. Acts 2:38 says, "Then Peter said to them, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And Acts chapter 8, verse 22, "Repent, therefore, of your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you." We need to repent of our inactivity. Matthew 28:19-20, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." Have we been going therefore and making disciples like we are told to? If not, we must repent of that sin of omission, that inactivity. Now, John also says in Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, for us to return. And we need to return to the works that we were doing before we turned from God. In other words, we need to be about our Father's business. It's a proven fact that the word can be spread, but we have to be the ones to do it. Acts chapter 19, verse 20 says, "So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed." How did the word grow? Well, because people taught it, and they were zealous to do it. We too can be zealous for Jesus. And we must also regain zeal for seeking those who are lost. Think about something. There are approximately 7.5 billion people in the world, and there are only an estimated 2 million members of the Lord's church, mostly in America. That's only 0.026% of the people in the world that are members of the Lord's church. Now consider these questions. When is the last time that you cried out for the lost? When have you become emotional because the truth teaches that some of our friends and family members will not make it to heaven? When you lose your zeal, you lose purpose as a member of the body of Christ. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." Losing your zeal for the lost is losing your zeal for the work of Jesus. If we don't go seek those who are lost, who's going to do it? Isaiah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8 makes a great statement. Isaiah chapter 6, beginning with verse 6. "Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me. Will you take your responsibility to seek and save others? Over the years, surveys have been taken, and one question has been asked. And that question is, why do you attend the church where you are? And after all of these years, the answers have been consistent. 5% of the people come because of the preacher. 10% of the people come because of the church building sign. And 75 to 80% of the people come because a friend or relative invites them. What are we doing? Are we going out and seeking the lost? Do we have the zeal that we need to have for God? Reviving your zeal, it's a personal choice, but it's a powerful action. Your choice to possess a zeal for the lost will save a soul from everlasting punishment. The life of each Christian should place a high priority on teaching the lost the gospel of Jesus. Are you zealous or excited to get out and start teaching? Do you want to go to heaven? Are you good or are you righteous? Because only the righteous will go to heaven. The Bible teaches us how to become righteous. It teaches us God's plan of salvation. Upon hearing the word of God, we must believe it to be true. We must repent of our sins, confess Jesus as Lord, and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. We read in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10 says, For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. And in verse 14 we read, How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And verse 17, Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Then we turn to Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. It says, Now when they had heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, Repent each one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, there's more than just one step to becoming a Christian. You can't just say a prayer. You must do all the steps that are listed in God's plan of salvation. If you would like to know more about how you can become a Christian, get in touch with me and I'll help you as best I can. Again, my name is Scott Pauley. I'm the minister for the Church of Christ at 601 Washington Street in St. Albans, West Virginia, and I'll be happy to answer any questions you might have. You can call me at 304-727-0761, or you can email me at wvdj105@aol.com, or you could visit us on Facebook, or you can check us out at www.washingtonstreetcofc.org. That's www.washingtonstcofc.org. Or you could stop by for one of our services. We meet on Sunday mornings at 9:30 for Bible class, and then at 10:25 for worship, and then again at 6 p.m. on Sunday for worship. We also meet at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. If you would like to attend the services of the Church of Christ, but you're not in the St. Albans area, feel free to contact me and I will get you in touch with someone who can help you. But whatever you do, make sure that you haven't lost your zeal for God if you've ever had it. If you've never had it, make sure that you get it and we can help you. Until next time, thank you for joining us for Words of Truth.